In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. This is Pastor Ken. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of the Word for Life today. And got Jack Gardner, our Word for Life producer, in studio with me. And so, Jack, thanks for being here. It's a great study here in the life of Joshua. I remember my parents used to tell me when I was growing up, they said, "Man, Ken, you just love studying Joshua." And, you know, I think it was General MacArthur who said, "Joshua was one great military leader."
Yeah.
And I mean, he was, you know, General MacArthur, he was a great leader of men in the day. But Joshua, wow, what a challenge. And yet God's going to let him know, "Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you." And so as we pick it up, we're still in chapter one of Joshua chapter one. And God in verse one has basically said, you got to face reality. Moses is gone. Joshua is going to be the servant. He was Moses' assistant for years. He's the one whom is going to direct you into the promised land. And then in verses 2, verses 4, you know, Jack, if you have it there, why don't you read verse 2 for me, if you would, in Joshua chapter 1.
Sure. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel."
You know, it's a categorical command that implies an immediate positive response. Basically, it's get up and let's get going, and it's a call for action. I know you miss Moses, but get up and get going.
Time to get moving.
We talked about this in our last session, that when a man of God dies, nothing of God dies. God is still in control. You know, and thus, when someone's been a significant part of your life and they're gone, God has not passed away. God is still in control, and nothing of God falls apart when the man of God is no longer there. Yes.
In fact, even when that happens, oftentimes that's when you see the most movement in other directions, because God's activating other areas of service.
Yeah, he's actually working. So for these people, the days of drifting around aimlessly in the desert, hallelujah for them. They're finally gone. They're done. And so when we see this imperative from God for these people to get up and go over to this Jordan, it's speaking of the Jordan River. And many think this would have been a time that the Jordan River was in flood stage. And so this isn't going to be any easy crossing. I mean, they've seen God do a great work with the Red Sea. Those 19 and under that lived through the wilderness journeys, maybe they were small children, but I'm sure they heard their parents talk about it. I mean, we're going to get into chapter 2, and Rahab and the people of Jericho had heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, they were fearful of Israel's God. And they had heard that. But the Jordan River is very significant because it's the eastern border of the country of Israel. You know, and as you know, in many countries in the ancient world, water was a very high priority. It was scarce. I mean, we just go to the faucet and we can turn it on. Not for them. So a river was highly valued. In many countries, the primary river was sacred. I mean, you got Egypt, they had all of the different gods, and the Nile River was one that they worshiped. You have the Ganges, a river there in India. But the Jordan River never was considered that in Israel. The Jordan River was symbolically in Israel of kind of a barrier to get into the promised land. Mm. It's what stood between the people of God who are on this side and then the life or the land that God had called them to cross over onto the other side. It was an obstacle. I mean, you could probably hear them talking along the way. How are we going to get across the Jordan River, especially if it's at flood stage? Moses' request, Jack, at the end of his life was found in Deuteronomy 3:25. He says, "I asked God, could I cross the River Jordan to see the good land on the other side?" And we've talked about it. God said no. It was a barrier. And in Moses' case, the reason he could not cross it was because of his disobedience of striking the rock that second time instead of speaking to it. And we've mentioned it in some of the past broadcasts, Jack, but the idea that I can sin and not bear the consequences of my sin is just not true. You know, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. The nation of Israel had suffered this consequence of their disobedience for 40 years because they believed 10 men versus the two who said, God will give us the land. And that 11-day trip in the promised land took 40 years because of sin, and a whole generation died in the wilderness. I was thinking, Jack, unfortunately, many Christians are like Israel. We spend years and years in the wilderness of wasting our lives and what actually takes place in those wasted years. I think John Piper wrote a very interesting book entitled, Don't Waste Your Life.
Yeah, it's a great stationary bike of life. You're just not going anywhere and making any advancement.
Exactly. You know, there are those today, and I don't know, friends, if this is something you're battling, but you're like wandering in the wilderness of divided loyalties, divided affections, divided interests. I mean, Scripture says an unstable man, he's not focused, he's double-minded in his pursuits and his interests, not willing to totally submit to the Lord as the Lord of my life. And Jack, you know, when Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross daily. You need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. And every day I need to be able to say, Father, you have complete control of my life today. For some of you listening to this broadcast, that might need to be what you need to be saying to the Lord today. Lord, you have all of me today and use me. You are going to be the king of my will. And yet, you know, believers can wander in circles claiming to be Christ's followers while in reality they're only really living for their own interests. You know, it's a painful, pathetic path for anyone to actually go down. It leads to nowhere except, really, Jack, into the desert of despair. So the Jordan River was protection for the people who lived in Canaan in that day. Just like we would say we have the pond, you know, that keeps us safe, the Atlantic and the Pacific for the most part, as far as a country ourselves. And the people in Canaan looked at the Jordan River as a military protection that they had.
A big giant moat.
Yeah, exactly.
So to speak.
Yeah. The people of the land of Canaan, Baal was one of their primary gods. And the reason for this thought is that they believed gods were often associated with water or with rivers. And that's why so many of the miracles we've seen so far, the parting of the Red Sea, water coming from the rock in the wilderness, many miracles were involving water because God wanted his people to know, hey, I'm the God of the whole earth. And the people are going to have to decide which God is real. And is it the God who created the heavens and earth that we're actually going to follow? And so in verse 4, he describes the boundaries from the east side looking west toward the setting of the sun. So we see here that as Warren Wiersbe in his book entitled Be Strong makes this statement, over the years, I've seen churches and parachurch ministries flounder and almost destroy themselves in futile attempts to embalm the past and escape to the future. The theme song, he said, was, as it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be, world without end. But for some, I mean, after being in the wilderness for 40 years, they got to have some great anticipation and some hope of what is getting ready to transpire here. Because beyond the Jordan River, there were things that these Hebrew people could never have imagined. You know, the Lord had told them, I want you to arise, get up, cross the Jordan. And I would say, Jack, individually and corporately, we must be ready to go and advance when God is at work. We're to advance God's kingdom one life at a time. And let me just make this before we move on to verse 3 here, Jack. No pastor, no spiritual leader, he's not going to be able to lead them any further than he himself has gone with God. And I don't know where you are, friends, as you're listening today, as far as your own personal walk with God. Can I tell you, even as a pastor, my devotional time is not what I'm necessarily preparing for a Sunday message or a message. I need my time, just as everyone does, to be alone and to let the Word of God, and I'm not reading it to try to come up with an outline. I'm reading it for God, show me what it is you're wanting to teach me. So really, the critical credential required of a spiritual leader is that he or she be indwelt and directed by the Spirit of the living God. And, you know, as we go through Joshua, Jack, I think people are going to be able to see that Joshua was a man of God. I mean, for him to say there in that final chapter, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In verse 3, Jack, why don't you read verse 3 for us? The giving of this promised land, it's an important motive here in the book of Joshua.
Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses.
I mean, is that some pretty good news?
Yeah.
I mean, here's what you're going to inherit. This is what you're going to possess. I mean, Jack, you like getting gifts?
Well, yeah, a ton. Yeah,
so Val will give you a gift. You get excited about that. I mean, this is God's gift.
I'll often ask for him.
Can
you give me a gift today?
Yeah.
No, I just can go ahead.
I worked with a pastor one time who I said, "Well, hey, what'd you get your wife for her birthday?" Because I got her a lawnmower. Yeah, I said, "Yeah,
oh, yeah."
This in no way was a bad gift. This was God's gift to Israel, and yet there's another perspective here that shows that the land was to be taken by Israel. They have to go in and possess it themselves. And this key verb here is that word given or to give. God was the giver of the land, even when humans are the agents of the verb's actions. They're going to act now on God's behalf. And yet these tremendous achievements would not be accomplished in a day or two. It's going to take them some time to actually run out these folks that have possessed the land that God said, I'm going to give to the children of Israel.
And one more time, you know, God asking for something from them, not just giving it but in fact, he is the giver, so he can give anything at mm-hmm. any time, but exercising their faith in the process.
And it would be one step at a time.
Huh.
You know, what was interesting, we'll get to it, but the Jordan River did not part until the priests put their feet, they put their foot in the water.
Hmm.
I mean, can you imagine walking up and thinking, any time now, when is this going to part? And a lot of times people will say, you know, you got to put your foot in the water. You actually have to step out by faith. And you have a whole chapter in the New Testament that's referred to as the Great Faith chapter. And you look through that. Now, Joshua isn't specifically mentioned in the Great Faith chapter, but indirectly he is, because verse 30 talks about, by faith, they saw the walls of Jericho fall down. Well, Joshua is part of that.
Hmm.
Verse 31 talks about Rahab, and her family was spared because of faith. Again, Joshua would have seen that. He was part of all of that. And so this aspect of faith is one step at a time, one day at a time. Don't get discouraged by thinking of something that's going to happen down the road that's defeating you today. But no, take that step of faith today, and trust the Lord. I trust you'll have a great day, and that your walk with the Lord is getting stronger each day, and that you're going to see God do a great work there in your life. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.